Today also is an interesting change up. You forget what you heard, what you saw in the music. Forget what you saw in the title of the message. I got to tell you, God spoke to me. Here's what I'm paranoid. I'm an anxiety kind of guy. I don't wait till the last minute when it comes to messages and things like that. It's done, and then Friday, I kind of walk through it, and I'm good to go. Friday, when I walk through it, it wasn't good to go, and it just wasn't right. So today we are going through 1 Timothy chapter 5, but it's not respect your elders. It's 1 Timothy chapter 5 verses 1 through 8. And we're going to talk as far as church being a family. Next week we'll finish in this series of 1 Timothy. We could stay in 1 Timothy for a long time, but I wanted to walk through some steps as we go through this time of transition together. The idea that of understanding Paul's, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul's guidance to Timothy as far as church order. And so we've talked about what it means to be a believer in Christ and being careful of false teachers, church order as far as the issue when it comes to leadership, what it means to be a pastor, what it means to be a deacon. And so we come to this place in chapter 5, and Paul starts to dig a little deep. And so that's where we want to pick up Timothy chapter 5, if we could stand in reading God's Word together, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Paul says this. He says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity." And by the way, I think I've told you I have 3 younger sisters. And so when I read this, it was like, because 1 or 3 of them's always mad at me, you know, because I'm the oldest and I'm the only boy, and I think I've told you all that. But younger women as sisters with absolute purity, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, how to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives, because she's living for the pleasures of the world. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his family or his relatives or his own, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Thank you. You may be seated and let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for so many things. In fact, now we want to, before I forget, want to lift up baby Owen as he prepares for surgery tomorrow. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for its purpose and mission here on this property, in this area. Father, for the leadership and the love that they have for each other. And so, Father, now as we've been singing hymns that are so strong and maybe familiar to us, but they have purpose and meaning. And so, Father, I pray that today's message, as it's a message, as this, as in all of Timothy, has been more of a message of for Christians and those who are purposely children of God. Now as we look to the issue of family, we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit as we look to this passage of Scripture, and we pray everything that we say and do would be not of my words, but Father, but would be of you and you alone. And Father, I pray that more than anything else, that when we leave here in a few minutes, that we would not only be changed, but we would be closer to you because of our worship experience with you today. In Christ's name, Amen. Okay, yeah, you put this on. I've got a picture I want to show you. But the church as family, these are my grandparents. This is Sam and Noretta Bell. And they kind of adopted. Today we're going to get kind of personal because we're talking in reference to family. My grandfather and grandmother, Sam was a roofing contractor, and he passed away in the fall of 2001. He was 90 years old. My grandmother, Noretta Bell, or Noni, passed away. She was younger. She had pancreatic cancer. She passed away in the fall of 99. They adopted me into the Bell family when I was about 4 years old. And they taught me so much. My mother was a single mother at the time, and we moved all over the place. We bordered with various people and efficiencies and apartments and all of this. My mother was an atheist. She grew up in the Catholic Church, but because of just the bitterness of being a single mom and being married and divorced at a young age, she was very bitter. And when we started, came into this family, they kind of just took us in, and we started going to church together. And it was through Vacation Bible School that I accepted Christ, and through so many things. My grandfather not only taught me how to tie my shoes, he taught me so many things in life. And so today, as we look not only as, people in our families, but also the church as family. The church is, and somebody says, well, I don't want to be a family with you, okay? You feel that way? But some people, I don't want to be in this family. You know, well, you know what? You're stuck. We're the Christian family. And if you feel that way about it, go find another church where you can be family with them. You know, but there's a difference between the outside world, the secular world, and the Christian world. We are family. Before we begin, I just wanted to give a little introduction. In this passage of Scripture, as I said, we've been talking about leadership and what it means to be a believer and church order and this kind of thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul gives Timothy directions for meeting the needs of various groups of people in the church of Ephesus. Verses 1 and 2, he's talking about dealing with groups that are differentiated by age and sex. Paul tells Timothy to treat men and women, young and old, as family members. And in 5:3 through 8, Paul instructs Timothy in meeting the needs of genuine widows in the church. And then he goes into detail. We're not going to talk about it today, but he talks in detail about younger widows. But he wants the action in the church towards groups of people to win the esteem of the largely outside heathen population in Ephesus. Proper behavior towards groups of people in the church demands respect and compassion in the giving of financial help when needed. Christians who did this would demonstrate a lifestyle to the pagan world outside who could understand and admire. We are family. Family. We stick together, and there's nothing like having family. I have a large family. I just found out this weekend that I have an even larger family through Ancestry.com. We've been going back and forth. If you're anybody on Ancestry, it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. All the different connections. And I went back and forth with a cousin from Alabama who's got baby Owen, who's having surgery on his brain on Monday. He's 10 months old. But we texted back and forth, and even this up to this morning. But it's interesting when we look at the issue of family and how so many great things about having a family. Church family is family. The church functions as family. God wants a family, and we are part of it. He wants us to be in His family. When we placed our faith in Christ, we asked Him to forgive us of our sins. We live in the family of God. And there are benefits of being in the family. There's the inheritance of heaven. There's the identification through baptism. Baptism is a symbol of what God has done for us on the cross. And we need to see the other people, whatever they look like, whatever their color, whatever their makeup, whatever it is, if they are believers in Jesus Christ, they are part of the kingdom family. And we know that pulls us together is Christ, but it's the love of Christ, and we love each other. Paul says to love in 1 Corinthians, even though I do all these great things, if I don't have love, I'm nothing but a clanging gong. There's nothing more annoying than a person that has all the answers but does not love people. And so you got to love family. Love lasts forever. And then, you know, some places of my family, I'm known as the crazy uncle. All right? Anybody the crazy uncle? It's okay if you're the crazy uncle. It's all right. It's all right. But there's always some. But love lasts forever. Love leaves a legacy. Life without love is useless. And the best expression of love is our time together. And so not only is there love, but there's a place to belong. There's a sense of security. In Ephesians, we are members of God's family. And even 1 Timothy says, God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And so when we look at this idea of family and the local fellowship, we are together as family. We need to be a church family. A church family, if you have a church family, it identifies you as a genuine believer. A church family moves you out of self-centered isolation. A church family helps you develop spiritual muscle. The church needs your spiritual gifts. Church family helps develop a sense of mission. A church family helps you from turning back or backsliding because there's encouragement. Church membership, yes, there's membership and there are many members, but there are one body. And so we were meant to experience life together, harmony, and fellowship. We were not meant to live this life in isolation. Life was meant to be shared. And so there is a time in real fellowship, there is authenticity. And in a church family, there is mutuality and there's sympathy and mercy together as we work together and we bond together and we pray together and we cry together and we laugh together and we praise God together. That's cultivating community. You can't just say we're family, but you got to be a family. And in any relationship, it takes time and energy. It's a process to build that cohesiveness of family. And then we're together when we get into trouble or when we get discouraged. Galatians mentions restoring that family through the mending of nets. When you have people, you will have conflict. And you can't stop it, no matter how hard you try to avoid it. There will always be some sort of temperaments and personalities. Sometimes there's conflict. And so there's a time of restoration. And so Paul says to Timothy in three ways today, how we are family. First, there's the consideration. We are to consider each other as family and consider each other for respect. And that respect comes in the form of, Paul says to Timothy, first of all, respect and honor. Do not rebuke an older man. Literally in Greek, it means literally to strike out or to lash out at somebody. Paul says, don't do it. Don't do this. Timothy is being told not to lash out, but to treat them with respect, as he would treat the younger men with respect as brothers. So there's this command, Timothy, never rebuke an older man, but never to strike out, but to have this understanding of respect. Not only to respect, but there's this idea of showing allegiance. We honor. We are to show loyalty and devotion. Because why? Because we learn from an older man. Let me just ask you this. If you are from the, what is it? The builder generation. The builder generation. This is the greatest generation. I'm a baby boomer. I think we go to 64. I'm the tail end. I'm 55. The tail end of the baby boomer generation. But if you are, say, 60s and up, could you just stand or raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Thank you so much. You are the greatest generation. And I learned so much from my grandfather. I don't know if you are younger, but we have this way of saying, I'm going to do this. When I was a teenager and a 18, 19, 20, I'm going to do this. One day I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do all of these things. And I was on if you've ever been on a roofing crew, or, you know, in the summertime, it's not 90 or 100, it's like 110. It's hot. And my granddad, I would say, well, you know, granddad, I'm going to do this one day. And he looked at me, he got tired of it. And he said, you know, good intentions never helped anyone. These little quips of little things, good intentions never helped anyone. Or how to do things, how to get things done. We plan, we talk, we say, yeah, we're going to do all these wonderful things. But if you don't get started in something, you never finish something. One of the greatest lessons that I had, let me fill you, okay. Let me give you one. My youngest daughter, my only daughter, is dating a nice Christian young man. All right? And they're just nice. She's 21, going on about 24. He's 22, going on about 17. Okay? And they're good people. They're good. So we a year ago we had the talk, because they're serious, and I said, man, I love you, man. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. But let's put this on hiatus, okay? Because what we want to see you do is start something and finish something, right? And carry it through, because that's maturity. And you just walk this, we'll walk together, we'll pray, okay. But where did I get that? I got that from my grandfather. I got that from my father, okay? And so it's the issue of obeying and loyalty and devotion, to yield, to understand that we are to have a sense of loyalty and respect for the older generation. Honor. It's so much more than obedience. It takes a much more deeper, it means to respect them, to esteem. Because the older trains the younger. In the Greco-Roman world, it meant strict discipline. Instruction is a good translation by word of mouth. The elder, the olders, train or instruct or educate or teach, brings up the younger, raises them up. And so there's this understanding of respect and honor that's earned by life's circumstances. Life's circumstances. And so this great generation was a modest generation. It was a spiritual generation. It was a generation that understood all of what life has to offer and survives. And so there's this issue of consideration. First of all, there's this consideration. You are to consider. The second thing here is that there is an idea. I'm having a problem reading my notes. Excuse me, because I changed up. Care. Not only is there this issue of consideration, but there is an understanding of now caring for people in the church. And okay, so now she's teaching two Sunday school classes. All right. Then last year, they opened up a ministry to an adult living facility type of thing on Tuesday. And so they asked her to teach at the adult living facility on Tuesday. So she teaches a Sunday school class on Sunday, she teaches the Friday class and the Tuesday class. Three classes. And we kind of, she'll call, I call, and then we go back and forth, and we discuss the Bible study lesson, and she, well, I didn't think about this, what about this, and all of that. But the fact is that she is a widow. She puts her hope and trust and faith in God and God alone. And she's a prayer warrior. And she's a teacher. And because she has these gifts for teaching, the church, in turn, asked her to exercise her spiritual gifts. And she's doing a great job. And so that's what Paul has in mind when we look at this understanding of caring for widows. But this is the definition of a widow. Now, so there is this consideration for people as family to respect as family. There is the care. There is the care of the widow and what all that entails. But then third, the immediate family is to care, but the church can cover. The church is a substitute. So many times, there are people that expect the church to teach the child, to teach the teen, to teach the adult, to care for all the stuff, and the family just kind of goes their way. If a child or a teen goes to a public school, but has a strong Christian family and a good, healthy church, what the teen or the child learns from the home life then is reinforced by the church, and it goes back and forth. And so there's no difference between what a child or teen learns at home or learns at church, because it's going to be basically the same thing. So a child or a teen can go into a situation and have the background, biblical background, and goes into a secular understanding because of that. In the same way, the church can cover. The church covers. In verse 8, if anyone does not, this is tough too. This is a tough verse. Starting verse 7, give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's tough talk. But it's the idea that the church is not the catch-all. The church is the backup. But when the person is not cared for, the church can cover. The church can cover. I want to give you an example of this. Let's call this girl Cheryl. When we started at Stanton as associate pastor of education and youth, there was a nice Christian girl. And she was at church every time the door opened. She was in 10th grade. And as we developed a friendship and relationship, we had discovered that she was very faithful, and she was very she was in the band at school. She loved school. She loved church. She was involved in every aspect of church. But she did not have a good home life. She had a bad home life, in fact. And hit 11th grade and into her senior year, she used to babysit my kids, and she was just a wonderful Christian girl. But she would miss school, many days of school. People from the church would go to our activities, and we were called in by the principal, and said, there's something that's not right in her home life, and you need to, I just want you to know, because I know that you all in church are very involved in her life. So I went to the parents, and there just wasn't help. And so we went back to the principal, and she was on the verge of not graduating because she had missed so many days, and the principal said, you get this girl to school. Even if she's sick, you put her on a stretcher and you get her to class. That's what was said to us. And what was interesting, the church banded together. There were senior adults. There were Sunday school teachers. One person would make sure she was awake, would call her. One person would take her to school. One person would make sure there were about five of us that banded together to make sure that she finished. She even stayed with us so she could finish. She could make sure she stayed during her final exams. Well, she graduated, and she had some hardship. She got through the hardship. She stopped going to church for a time, but she kept up with people from. There were some senior adults that kept up with her and other people that kept up with her. She came back to church. She got married young. She had a kid. She started to go back to church. She was very involved in church. She became my helpers for about a year or two in youth ministry. She now is, she has three kids. She worked herself up in some security system from the bottom, and now she's like the vice president, or she's some extreme. She's up there in management, and she's very happy. She calls me on my birthday. I call her on her birthday, and you, sometimes our families meet at Disney. We haven't done it in 2 years. All that to say, this is a perfect example of how the church works together as family for the common good and to help each other, because we are family. So we are considerate and we are respectful. Secondly, we care. The proper definition of what it means to be a widow, according to Paul. And then third, the church can cover. The church can cover. What I appreciate, you know, one of the things about family and church family is how you all love each other. You can tell there is a love and a care. I grew up in a church that was very loving. I went to high school in a church that was very loving. And then I watched a church have a lot of conflict. And I never wanted to have conflict in a church. Because as Paul is showing Timothy what it means to be family, when you have conflict, you have to work it together. And I'm thankful you all don't have that. But I want to go back. I want to close with my grandparents. The first time that I went to Sam and Noretta's home was December, it was Christmas time of 1964. And I'll never forget that, because that was the year that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer started, okay? If you're a Christmas person, and I remember going to this house, and my grandmother used to make candles. And so there was a lot of, I just walked into this house, and there was this warmth and just love and care and concern. And it was a place that you never wanted to leave. And I will never forget the love that was shared and given to me as someone, I was 4 years old, but I'll never forget the love as I walked into that house. It was a place I never wanted to leave. And as I think of when we gather together as a church body, church as family, isn't it wonderful that when we gather together, we come together, we come to worship together. And it's so nice to hear there's a buzz. If just listen, I don't know if you catch it, but when you gather together on Sunday mornings, there's a buzz of people that just kind of talk. And fellowship, and you're ready to worship together. Friends, that's church. That's what it's supposed to be about. When you come into this house, it's the house of the Lord, and you want to come and meet God. I've been in some churches where you walk in, it's like crickets, and it's unkind. And you can tell that the Holy Spirit is not there. And so today, as we just as a reiteration, Paul says to Timothy, treat these people as family. respect and love, admire, care. And then when you look at what it means, these groups that are within the church body, you need to care for them. Their family, their outside family, may or may not be believers, but they are to take care of the immediate needs. But if they're not, then the church can cover. We are to be considerate. We're to be compassionate and caring. And we are to cover for each other. There's nothing like family. You know, people think I'm Spanish because I'm from Miami. I'm not Spanish. I'm Italian and Irish and Jewish. And it's interesting. When I meet with the Italian side of the family, or I meet with the Irish side of the family, or I meet with the Jewish side of the family, it's very interesting because we're family. And nobody messes with us. And that's the way it is with church family. You know that as believers, nobody's going to mess with you because you've got your brothers and sisters in Christ. And this has, again, been a message for the church. But if you're not a part of the church family, you start by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. You give your heart to Christ. It's not that you come to church and you did the church thing and you click that off and you say, okay, I'm a God person. No, it doesn't work that way. I give my life to Christ. I surrender all of my stuff, my unhappiness, my bitterness. I leave that at the foot of the cross of Christ because He gave His life. He shed His blood for you and for me. And what better way to seal the fellowship but by saying, yes, I'm a Christ follower because I gave my life, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And then from there, we're family. We're family. And there's nothing like family. I watch my kids. And on certain days, they are just like buds. And certain days, one's mad at somebody else. And I kind of chuckle, okay? But then I've watched them when somebody gets upset about something. And they all jump because they're family. I don't know if you have family or not. I don't know if you're a believer in Christ. But in a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to invite you to join God's family and be a part of the family of God. Maybe you want to just come in here and pray, or maybe you want to just get a restart in life, or whatever it is. Don't leave here without doing business with our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, today has been a little different message. Father, there's nothing like the love and bonding of the fellowship of people bonded together by the love of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank You for saving me. And thank You, Father, for allowing me just to be a part of the family. I'm just happy to be there. And Father, I pray that as we walk together, as we journey together, as we talk together, as we pray together, as we laugh together and cry together, that's what a family does. And so as Paul instructs Timothy, this is how you're to treat each other. And this is how you're to be. I'm thankful that this church is loving and caring. I'm thankful, Father, that there is a bond here. And my prayer is that it would just, and in a time of transition, Father, just a reminder that would be even stronger and work better together, stronger together. Father, I pray there's somebody here that's never accepted You. And they don't know what it's like to be a part of Your family. May they accept You today. May they turn their life and surrender their life over to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Maybe there's somebody that just needs to get a restart. They've been just out there and discouraged. They just need to get, you know, just reminded of your love for them. Or maybe somebody used to come and pray here at the altar. My prayer is, Father, that today that we would not leave here without doing business with you. In Jesus' name, amen.